are, the final segment of this program on Saturday morning here on KFGO. Tony Mariotti has found some time, and I greatly appreciate it, last second to join us here on the program. And we were talking about pan fishing with Tony. That's his area of expertise, although he's a darn good angler on many different fronts, but he just loves catching those crappies and bluegills. And we were talking about some of the things that he's seen scuba diving and some of the things he knows that were some of the bigger crappies and bluegills hang out. Okay, so he knows where they're hanging out. He knows they're in the lakes, which sometimes, quite honestly, we do question whether or not there's big pan fishing lakes or not, but he knows there are. So how do you catch them? That's the question I have for you, Tony. So how do you, without scuba diving, how do you find some of these bigger bluegills, and then how do you catch them? Is there a key to catching them bigger ones, or is it just getting on them and putting down an angle worm like you do with regular sunfish?
You know, sometimes that's the best way to do it. But the number one thing that I can tell people, or that I have people ask me, you know, how do you catch big bluegills? And truly, you have to be on a lake that has big bluegills. You are not going to get into big bluegills if the lake has stunted fish, if there aren't big bluegills or crappies available. In this area, I mean, it's no secret that Lake Lyda has nice panfish in it. Lake Lizzie has nice panfish. Cormorant Lake, I mean, they all are lakes that hold bigger fish. When targeting those bigger fish, a lot of times I feel like you just have to move away from where everybody does fish. Like you said, you're not going to typically get the big panfish going off somebody's dock unless you're plucking the females off when they're spawning. Right now, that isn't the case. So what I like to do is actually get out away from shore, go look for underwater weed beds, and for the crappies, a lot of times I'll just troll spinner rigs, like your walleye fishing. And a lot of times some of my best crappie spots actually have come while accidentally catching a crappie or two while walleye fishing. Using a little leech, little chunk of a crawler on a small bladed spinner, and just pulling it along the edge of the weed lines. If I catch a crappie or two, a lot of times that's a spot that I'll either mark on the GPS or I will just stop and anchor and get out a slip bobber and try to put on, just like I'm ice fishing, put on a little jig, drop it down, and, you know, see if I can get the crappies to go. In the case where the bluegills are mixed in, you know, that's where you need to try to figure out how to get something down past them quickly. It's where a lot of guys have gone to tungsten jigs. They're heavier, they're more expensive, but they do drop quicker. That seems to be definitely one way to get them down. The other way is to upsize in plastic. A lot of times for crappies, I'll use 3-inch, like the power minnow type bait, or the large Mackie plastics, Northland Impulse plastics. I mean, I'm a big plastic guy. I don't use a lot of live bait. But the key is just getting out, fishing those edges, finding the edge of weeds, and putting in some time.
And I get out, and my passion at this time of the year, I love to walleye fish and all that's great and all, and I'm not very good at it, but that's fine. But my passion at this time of the year, Tony, is to try to find those cabbage beds, whether it's in a cormorant, whether it's in a Lyda, whether it's in a Lizzie. And I fish those lakes enough that I have my favorite spots that I go to and all these things. But I like to take a little, tiny little twister tail jig with a little, you know, 16th-ounce jig head and a white twisty tail. I like pink or chartreuse for the jig head. That's always seemed to work best for me. The white twisty tail has always seemed to be, if I was on a desert island and had to have one piece of fishing equipment to fish with, it would be a white twister tail jig, because I've caught everything from a 6-pound walleye to an 8-pound northern to a pound and a half crappie on these little white twister tail.
Yeah, you're definitely not alone there. I'd fight you for that.
But I like to get to those cabbage beds and just, I actually troll. I troll, yep, and kind of pull the jig across the top of the cabbage beds. And what I found is you catch a ton of crappies that way. But every once in a while, you'll also catch a darn nice bluegill. And I don't know if there's a way, even around the edges of the cabbage beds or in the cabbage beds, if you can just sit in the middle of them and try to find those bigger bluegills that way. But they're mixed in, and these lakes have, I'm not talking, you know, 2-pound world record bluegills or anything, but you can catch some awfully nice, you know, 3/4-pound bluegills doing that.
And there are lakes in this area that you have the chance of catching that 2-pound bluegill. We had, last winter was our best, and these are not, you know, spawn-filled fish, but we, biggest ones last winter were 1-pound 9 ounces, 1-pound 7 ounces, and they're still swimming in these lakes. So those big bluegills are here. A lot of times when you're catching one by accident, that's where if you would slow down, put out an anchor and kind of concentrate on that area, you might be rewarded with lots of them. Typically, once you find the big bluegills, the big bluegills hang with big bluegills.
And let me make clear to the listeners, I return those bluegills to the lake. When I say I'm looking for big bluegills, I don't mean I want to keep 15 or 10 nice bluegills. I want to put those back. But there is nothing more fun than having a pound bluegill on the end of an ultralight rod, whether it's ice fishing or whether it's summer fishing, because pound for pound, they're the fightinest, meanest, nastiest fish out there, Tony. Maybe with the exception of smallmouth bass, but God, big bluegills are fun to catch.
Yeah, if they get to be 5 pounds, I don't know if you could get them in the boat, because you're absolutely right. As far as eating, you know, those 8-inch fish, 7-inch fish are perfect eating bluegills. Once you start hitting that 9.5, 10, 10.5-inch fish, those are true trophies. You know, they say a 10-inch bluegill is comparable to a 30-inch walleye. You know, that's a 10-year-old fish at least. It's trophy class. Once you start getting into that 10.5, 11 inches, those are fish of a lifetime for a lot of people. So those are the ones that need to go back, in my opinion. You know, if you're going to keep one or two to mount, great, but they're the bigger ones. They don't taste as good. And if you laid two fillets next to each other, a 9.5 and an 8-inch fish, you couldn't tell the difference on the amount of meat you get from them.
No, you know, and I have no trouble with people going to fish to keep a few fish to eat. I'm having a fish fry on Monday for my friends over with some fish I've caught throughout this summer. We're going to have a great time. But I'm going to get on my pedestal and just preach to people, please, if you catch those big bluegills or you catch those big crappies, you know, I mean, put a couple back or put most of them back, because it's just
a meal
just,
of 10 inches are just as good as a meal of 12 inches. And those 12 inches took an extra 2 years to get those extra 2 inches on them.
Yep.
Next year they'll eat 13s. You know, those are big fish.
They are. Tony, as always, thank you. I've never been fishing with you. And if I'm not, I don't mean to be too forward here, but if you ever have an afternoon where you have some free time to go show me the tricks of the trade, not your secret hotspots, GPS hotspots, but just show me a couple of tricks to help me catch panfish. I absolutely love catching crappies and bluegills, so please give me a call.
The kids are on the pond tuning today, and we will be targeting those 8-inch bluegills and having as much fun as we can. I'd sure love to join you in the boat or have you out anytime, Mike.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it. Talk to you again.
You bet. Thank you.
Tony Mariotti, Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. He is a good one, and listen to what he says when it comes to catching some of these panfish and the spots and the locations. You know, I mean, it's fun to you know, nuzzle up to a reed edge and throw out the bobbers and night crawlers and see the bobbers go down and catch a bunch of smaller sunfish. That's a great way to spend an afternoon with the kids. I enjoy it myself at times, but once in a while, step out of that and try what Tony's suggesting. Find one of those mid-lake sunken islands that has weeds on top of it. Not necessarily emergent weeds, but just submergent cabbage beds, and just fiddle around there for a while, and you'll be surprised at what you might catch, including, by the way, some awfully darn nice walleyes by accident, because they're hanging around there too. This has been Mike McFeely Outdoors. I'm out of time. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hey, I'm a country man. A city boy can't do the things I...